All right, guys, welcome into another edition of A Pickaxe to Grind and All Things Denver Nuggets podcast. I'm Brady Hull, host of The Hull Show on KFKA, and it is the 21st day of March on a Tuesday. The Nuggets have today off, and they'll be back at it tomorrow at Washington. That becomes a pretty significant game, as Denver's, they're holding on to the top seed in the West still, but it's getting, the lead is getting smaller and smaller. They were up seven games, I think, the last time, maybe the time before we chatted, and now they hold a 3.5-point game lead over the Memphis Grizzlies, 4.5-point game over the Kings. It looks like, just doing the math in my head here, I think they can finish no worse than third place, maybe get into fourth. They're 9.5 games above Phoenix with 10 games to go, so, you know, assuming the Nuggets don't lose the next 10 games, they should lock up at least a top three seed. And that's all well and good, but they've been maintaining the number one seed all season. So a lot of pressure coming up on this team. And again, when you go up against a team like Washington, 32-39, that's a team you should beat. Although the last few games for Denver, it's been, listen, March has been rough, and it's been against a bunch of teams that they should beat. Should beat Chicago. Should beat San Antonio. Rough loss. Should beat Brooklyn. Should beat Toronto, too. But they lost four games in a row starting back on March 8th. They beat Detroit. That was a weird game, too. There were weird moments in that where it felt like maybe the defensive intensity wasn't there. And we'll get into the X's and O's of what's been going on these last few games. Then they lose to New York. They had a big lead there. Give that up. New York comes back, wins that game. They beat Brooklyn. They were up by 20 at one point. Fourth quarter comes around. The lead starts dwindling, starts going down. Starters come in. Still a close game back and forth. You ended up winning 108-102. And now they set their sights on a 5 o'clock game against Washington tomorrow afternoon. So that game's huge. And obviously, we're paying attention to this last stretch of games for many reasons. A, can the Nuggets lock up the number one seed? And then B, can Nikola Jokic win his back-to-back-to-back MVP? And right now, according to the betting favorites, the Kia MVP ladder on NBA.com, Joel Embiid is the favorite. He's the favorite right now. And again, you're going to look at stretches. You're going to look at stretches of games and ask yourself the questions if you're voting right now. Okay, what happened in that stretch of games where you dropped so many games that it took what seemed to be not a guarantee but close that they were going to lock up the number one seed. All they had to do was not fall on their face against bad teams like Chicago, San Antonio, Brooklyn, and Toronto. But they lost them, and now they're 3.5 games up. So you start looking at the situation here. And the NBA voters are looking at it going, all right, the MVP should be able to overcome tough stretches, should be able to find, to will his way to, especially in important games. These were all important games. It's not early in the season anymore. This is crunch time in the NBA season where you're setting yourself up for playoffs and the proper seeding and all of that. So the NBA voters are going to look at those things. Was this player able to put them on his back when he needed to the most, get you enough dubs? I mean, had they come out clean in that stretch, taking care of teams they were supposed to beat, they'd have an 8-game lead in the Western Conference standings, and it'd be all but done today. This is what I talked about earlier, was you need to get your work done against these bad teams because the final stretch for Denver is no cupcake. It's not going to be easy. So the voters are going to be looking at the MVP race there. And what Philadelphia has done, while the Nuggets were losing, the 76ers went on a 8-game winning streak. What is that? 8 games in a row. They did lose to Chicago on Monday night in overtime, 109-105. But before that, they were winning a ton of games. And Joel Embiid was the man in every one of those games. 42 against Indiana, 39 against Minnesota, 39 against Portland, 34, 36, 38, 31, 37. He's been dominating. Now, he gets to the free throw line a heck of a lot more than the Joker, but he's also saying, give me the ball. It's win time. We are trying to get higher up in the standings. They're a half a game behind Boston. They're 3 games behind Milwaukee. So Philadelphia is taking the necessary step to push for that final spot. And Joel Embiid in those games was absolutely a monster. It's not to say that Joker wasn't doing his thing either, but his performances against, like, okay, look back at their stretch. They lost to Chicago. Joker had 18. That was a bad game for Joker. He took 9 three-pointers in that contest. Against Brooklyn, 35. Okay, he was back. That game, we were like, okay, he got the Chicago game out of his system. Weird game for him, but he's getting his numbers, but it wasn't enough. Denver lost. He had 35 against Brooklyn. Denver lost. 28 against Toronto. Denver lost. His numbers are still right around his average. He dropped a little bit in the assist total. He's averaging, I think, 9.9 assists right now. But his numbers have been consistent, but they haven't been overpowering enough to get you past a tough stretch. Philadelphia, on the other hand, they needed to have a run here where they could move up in these standings. I mean, Cleveland's probably not going to make a real push for that third spot, but Philadelphia is looking at saying, we don't want to lose the competition right now to the as far as who's going to be the best in the East. We need to put our best foot forward, and they have. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. Meanwhile, the Denver Nuggets are 5-5 in their last 10. They've been about a 500 basketball team. So right now, I'm just going to call it what it, say it how it is. Nikola Jokic feels like he's taken a slight step back in the MVP race. Joel Embiid has put the Sixers on his back to get them in a spot. So if the season were done today and we didn't have 10 games remaining, it's going to Joel Embiid. Is that fair? Is that right? Is he the best player in the NBA, or is it Nikola Jokic? Joker's out-rebounding him by 2, I believe. He's certainly out-assisting him. But points are what we're going to look at first. And then when the other stats are overwhelming, then you go, all right, that's like Joker last year. He didn't lead the league in scoring. He didn't lead this league in scoring 2 years ago. But his other stats were so overwhelming that you couldn't ignore what he was doing. This time around, you're looking at a Joker who's doing about the same things. And again, he might average a triple-double, and that's going to certainly bode well in the voting. But you're going to look at the scoring, and you're going to look at stretches down the stretch here when you're trying to set yourself up for playoffs and put yourself in the best spot possible for your team. Joel Embiid, they won eight of their last 9 games. And Denver, as we know, 4-game losing streak, they won 2. So they've won 2 out of their last 6 games. No, I think that's wrong. I think that's 2 out of their last 7 games. So that's where we are right now. We're looking at the stats. Not a lot's changed except for the win-loss column and how you've handled a critical stretch. Nikola Jokic, whether he's really listening to stuff or not, this drop came right around the time Kendrick Perkins was doing his stuff on the Four Letter Network, and we discussed that. You know, I wondered how it would it bother him mentally. He's never really paid attention to that. He's never really shown that that's something that's on the top of his mind, what others think of him. But he did after the Kendrick Perkins stat padding comments. Then you had the voters leaning more toward a white guy in this situation when he made the comparison with Dirk Nowitzki and Steve Nash. So I wondered a lot if this was finally going to be a time where maybe it affects the Joker. I thought when, you know, they go out against Memphis a couple weeks ago after getting blown out by them, and that was a huge game for them. We win this game, we take control of the West. And Denver won. It was beautiful. It was like, this is a championship team. That was a huge test for them. Ja Morant was still in. That was Ja Morant's last game before he got suspended because he ended up going to Shotgun Willie's in Denver after they lost. And so we thought, here we go. This is it. The Nuggets, you know, they had a lot of pressure on them, the national spotlight's on them. And what'd they do? They went out and hammered Memphis. That's when the bad stuff started to happen. It's like, Michael Malone made the comment of, hey, we're not focused on trying to be the number one seed or anything like that. And again, that comment just it hit my ears wrong. Because if you're not focused on trying to win the number one seed, then it means you're not focused on trying to win every game. Well, it showed. The very next night, a couple nights later, they played Toronto. They win that game, but it took a monster comeback to come back. You know, they're down 7 with like 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth. But it took a pretty nifty comeback by the Nuggets. Jamal Murray was hot in that game. And they won. It bothered me. Then they come out against Chicago on a Wednesday. terrible outing, and you dropped all these games. And so since the Memphis game, the Nuggets haven't looked like the Nuggets, even in the wins against Detroit and Brooklyn. The defense has been bad. The way Michael Malone is handling his substitutions and the minutes and his relationship with Michael Porter Jr., benching Michael Porter Jr. the other night because he didn't like his defensive intensity, but then he comes back later and says, nobody was playing well. But why was Porter the guy to get benched? Why is he always the scapegoat? Christian Brown wasn't really in the lineup until about a week ago. You weren't using him really since the trade deadline. And we thought, man, because of the emergence of Christian Brown, you felt really good about moving on from Bones Highland, whether Reggie Jackson was available or not. Then you have that situation. Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant, they have not stepped up at all for this team. We thought, man, you just improved your bench. Calvin Booth, the GM for this team, is on the right track. He's making big moves. Who knows? Maybe if the Nuggets found a way to win a title, he could be up there for executive of the year. But it turns out those moves weren't working. Michael Malone finally goes back to Christian Brown. And Brown's an energy guy. He's a hardworking player. He's going to go up and get offensive rebounds. And then you see him succeed. And it just makes you scratch your head even more going, why was this not happening? Why weren't you playing him? And he's a rookie. Michael Malone has a hard time playing rookies. His rotations have been strange. I'll see Michael Porter Jr. in a slump. He'll finally hit a three. And bam, he's out. You know, I get it. You got your minutes. You got your design timeouts and everything when guys are coming out or whatever at certain minute markers in the game. If I have a guy in a slump and I see him hit a shot, I'm playing him again. I'm keeping him in the mix at least for another few minutes to see if he can capitalize on that. If he can get truly out of the slump. No, let's put him back on the bench. Saw that with Christian Brown. Couldn't hit anything the other night. I think it was against Brooklyn, and he finally hits a corner three. Couple seconds later, next dead ball, timeout, whatever it was, he's out. So we've got the first stretch here where a championship quest is in doubt, where the MVP quest is in doubt. It has been all good for Denver. They got a 48-24 record. A lot of that work, of course, was done before March. But since they got into March, it's been a rough go. So when we look at the two most important things you're striving for here for the night, again, MVP's subjective to how you want to say most important. Number one, it's setting yourself up for a championship run. Well, the easiest way to do that, you know, if you're just looking at it, pure standings and seedings versus seedings and all that, the number one seed would be the easiest route. You certainly don't want to play Golden State. You don't want to get into a situation where you're playing Golden State in the first round. But I have just been perplexed by this team lately. And I talked about this on the whole show the other day, just about Nikola Jokic. And yeah, I get that they like to start him at the top of the key. They got the two-man game with he and Jamal Murray. That sometimes, as Murray's confidence grows, which is a good thing, the two-man game turns into pick and roll or Joker picks, sets the pick, and Jamal takes it, and it's dance time. Let's see what we can create. I like seeing Joker bust down a little bit more on the block with his back to the basket, and he seems to do really, really well in that situation. Against Brooklyn, they were doing that for three quarters. Then they're up 20. He comes back in with like 7 minutes to go in the game, and they go away from that completely. I mean, I'd like to know the amount of touches Joker had in that game, but he certainly wasn't shooting it. So a coaching situation there where it's like, dude, Joker's dominating in the paint. Nobody can stop him. They're doubling him, but not fast enough. Let's keep going with that, at least for this game. And I had a pushback on that. Folks were like, dude, that's not his game purely. You want him to start some set plays at the top of the key, and I understand that too. But what I saw working against Brooklyn was Joker in the paint, back to the basket. I have options. If I absorb a double team, I'm skipping it across court. We've seen him do that countless times. I'm seeing Aaron Gordon cut underneath into the weeds behind that double team. Or you're going to see a quick little spin move from Joker, and he's either going to go up or he's going to pop it back out to the top of the key. There's a lot of options Joker has there. So the coaching, the drawing of plays, the coaching, just a weird month for Denver. Feels good that they beat Brooklyn, but they're not out of the woods yet. And now when you look at this, you're going up against Washington. I hate to say must wins until they're must win, but you got Milwaukee on Saturday. Philadelphia on Monday. Talk about an MVP gauntlet there. New Orleans on Thursday. They're going to be fighting for a play-in spot. At Phoenix, and with or without KD, it's still a very good team. Sunday, Golden State. Then you're at Houston. Okay. No one can be taken lightly anymore, though, after what we saw last week. Hell week for the Nuggets. Then it's Phoenix again on the road. Then it's at Utah, and you finish up your season against Sacramento. What I had talked about so much with this team for both the number one seed and Nikola Jokic to win the MVP, get your work done in March, man. Take care of these teams that are not very good. I get you're on the road, but you are the number one seed. You are one of the favorites to win it all. You have to put these teams out. And that just wasn't happening for this core. And now you look at a situation where it ain't going to get any easier. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the Nuggets overlook these bad opponents. So going up against Milwaukee and Philly and Phoenix and Golden State and now Sacramento, maybe that's the best thing for this team, is to go up against the best, get their confidence up, find ways to beat these teams, and then you're in the playoffs going, we can beat literally any of them because we took care of the best in the East. We took care of some of the best in the West. Yeah, that's all great idea in theory, but if you don't do it, you could find yourself in a third spot, and if you finish third, you would likely be going up against, let's see. I mean, again, just basing it off of if it was 1 through 8 and we didn't have the play-in game, third seed would be going up against Golden State. See, I mean, number one seed would get Minnesota, 2 seed would get Dallas, 3 seed right now the way it stands. My bad, Sacramento would take on Dallas, Phoenix would take on the Clippers, and then away you go. Let me restart that. You'd go 1 seed would take on Minnesota, 2 seed would take on Dallas, 3 seed would take on Golden State. 4 seed would be going up against the Clippers. So, yeah, I was right the first time. The 3 seed is where you don't want to be. You don't want to be in that spot. And then again, that's assuming there's no movement from Golden State. They're a half a game up on Dallas for the 6th spot, meaning they're in the playoffs. Dallas is still in the play-in game. And then, of course, they're a game and a half behind the Clippers. So there's still movement to be had here. We're not going to know what this is really going to look like. We might go all season. We might actually get to that 10th game for Denver where we really know where people are going to be. But if you're Denver, get the first seed because Golden State's not going to drop down too far, and I think they'll win a play-in game. So I don't foresee Golden State being an 8 seed. So you want to stay away from Golden State. I'm totally comfortable with a 7-game series against Memphis and Sacramento and even Phoenix with KD because I haven't seen it enough. I haven't seen it really work with Phoenix with KD just yet. So The fact is, the Nuggets got national attention like crazy 2 weeks ago. The MVP conversation heated up like it's never heated up before, almost to a dangerous spot with Perkins talking about racism having something to do with the MVP voting. So you had all attention on the Nuggets, which we've all begged for. Nuggets fans and media people all over. We want attention from the national media on this team. And what happened? You dropped the ball. You struggled. You were uncharacteristic of what you've been doing all season. So now the big test comes up. Are you truly right? You won 2 out of your last 3, if you want to look at it glass half full kind of guy. But lose to Washington, it's time to really start panicking about this team. Because again, the final stretch, whether it's on the road or at home, doesn't get any easier for Denver. Here's some of the things that I've liked over the last few games. I do feel like Jamal Murray, even though he's kind of had some slump-type games, when he and Michael Porter Jr., like we saw against Brooklyn, are dominating the scoreboard like they were the other night, man, that allows Joker to do so much. He's open to do so many different things. So I've liked that. Aaron Gordon's defensive intensity does seem to pick up when it's crunch time. They would talk about the Denver Nuggets defense when it comes to crunch time. Gordon, I feel like, leads that along with Nikola Jokic. So I've liked that, but Gordon hasn't been great. Christian Brown re-emerging again has been good, so I've liked that. But guys, there hasn't been a whole heck of a lot to take positive, even with the 2 out of 3 of the last wins. So I've been optimistic about this team all year, but now we got to be fair. The Nuggets got in the limelight We're all talking about Joker. National media, local media alike. We're all talking about the Nuggets maybe finally winning a championship since being in the NBA. And then I feel like, for whatever reason, the pressure, they got into coast mode because they were a one seed and they were seven games up. All those things played a very interesting part in what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks or the last couple of games. Got to get it right. And I'll tell you right now, you want the number one seed. You want the three-time MVP. Joker doesn't care about the MVP. He probably just wants the number one seed. But those of us that want the three-time MVP, for us fans, it's going to come down to him. It's going to come down to Nikola Jokic deciding to be the guy, to just get into takeover mode. And that, to me, also goes hand-in-hand with Michael Malone's coaching ability. Set your guy up. With Philadelphia, it's pretty freaking easy, man. It's, hey, we got to win a game here. I want the ball in Joel Embiid's hand way more often than not. That should be the mentality with Joker. Timeout. We're not looking good. I want the ball to Joker on the block. I don't care how we get it to him. We got to get it to him. And then I want people moving. And then let him make the decision. He's that good of a player. I still think he's the best player in the league. He's that good of a player where you get the ball in his hands, especially close to the basket, where he's lethal. Good things are going to happen. I don't need him camping out at the three-point line. I don't need him constantly trying to set up this two-man game at the top of the key. I want Joker down in the paint more. I think he's more effective there. I've had pushback on that because he's also good at the top of the key. He's done some things there too. But mix it up. Didn't see that against Brooklyn. We'll see. Big stretch coming up for the Nuggets. 3.5 games up on the Memphis Grizzlies for the number one seed. It starts tomorrow night. Final 10-game stretch for the Nuggets. Can they get it done and lock up this very important first seed? Stay the heck away from playing Golden State. That terrifies me beyond belief. It gives me nightmares. I haven't been sleeping well because of the idea of that matchup with the Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors. I had someone text the whole show today saying, the Nuggets don't have the killer dog instinct or whatever it was. And my question back was, well, who does in the NBA right now? Who has the dog mentality? Milwaukee does. Philadelphia does. West? I don't know. Memphis doesn't right now. Ja Morant's suspended, trying to figure out his life, what that's going to look like. Phoenix has a Kevin Durant that isn't healthy. You know, I don't see any major dogs other than a healthy Steph Curry with Golden State. So stay away from Golden State in the first round, lock up the first seed, and let's go. Go win a freaking title. Get the three-time MVP. This 10-game stretch is absolutely crucial for the Nuggets, and it starts against Washington tomorrow afternoon, well, evening at 5 o'clock. All right, that's going to do it for us. It's been another edition of A Pickaxe to Grind. Be sure to listen to the whole show weekdays 11 to 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll be back at it next week with another episode of A Pickaxe to Grind and all things Nuggets podcast. Let's go, Nuggets.